Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Kingdom citizens. It is another day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Let's Talk Kingdom with Katrina. So glad you guys decided to tune in with us tonight. I am so excited about our guest. I can't wait till you guys get to hear this phenomenal man of God. He's been on the show before, and actually when I first got my blog talk show started, he came on the show with us and just gave you indie artists some great, great information. And I'm so excited that he will be coming on again. He's got a new book that is coming out, and he's going to be telling us more about that new book. But before that, I want to read a little bit about his bio. We have the honor of having the wonderful entertainment lawyer by the name of Kendall Mentor. He's a native of New York and a graduate of the senior class president of Flushing High School, and that's where he began his professional path at Cornell University. And when I tell you that he has a plethora of artists that we all know about that is a part of his clientele, I'm going to read a little bit of some of them, but before that, I really, really, really want to get him on because I want him to kind of talk, you indie artists that are on tonight, I want him to give you a little bit of information and just kind of tell you about his book and about the history and some of the great things that, he's doing in the kingdom of God. So without further ado, Mr. Mentor, are you on the line with us?
I am here, Katrina. How are you this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you this evening?
Good, good, good. It's always good to hear you and to kind of rejoin and get back together with you for another discussion.
I know, I know. I was kind of going to give our listening audience some of just the great clientele that, you know, you have been servicing. I mean, we already know, we all know Freddie Jackson, we all know Teddy Riley, I saw on your pictures that you sent over, you had Dionne Warwick, and, I mean, just the list goes on, Kirk Franklin, Fred Hammond. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. But the main reason that we want to bring you on tonight, I want you to talk to our new artists about this new book that you've got coming out, because
sure.
I read just a little bit about it, but I want you to kind of tell them, because myself as an indie artist, the more knowledge we have, the more power that we have, and we can make good, sound decisions when maneuvering in the music business. So first of all, I want you to give them a little bit of history of yourself, and then leading on up to why, you know, you decided to publish this book at this time.
Absolutely, and I'd be happy to. I'm a native of New Yorker, as you had mentioned, Queens to be exact, and born and raised there, and went to Cornell University, and then became really interested in the practice of law as I was at Cornell. Stayed there, went to Cornell Law School, and then when I graduated, I had a couple of corporate jobs and then a job in a large law firm. At that point, I decided I really wanted to practice entertainment law full-time. I was in Washington, D.C., and I decided to come on back home. So I did. I joined a law firm in New York, and that began my real practice of entertainment law, doing a combination of entertainment and corporate and litigation. And then after a few years, went out, set up my own practice, and have mm-hmm. been practicing entertainment law ever since. And that was about 30 years ago.
Wow.
And I've been blessed. I've had a lot of fun. I've represented and still represent some incredible clients that are all throughout all spectrums of music within the music and the entertainment field, as well as actors and directors, managers, producers, independent label owners, music executives, entertainment executives. So it's a nice cross-section of people and businesses and talent in the entertainment industry, and that's what keeps me going. So I don't have any dull days, thank goodness.
That's wonderful. Now, and this isn't your first book, is it?
Absolutely, it is, believe it or not. This is, you know, I like to write, and I guess that comes in handy because I'm dealing with contracts every single day, and you got to really love mm-hmm. writing to do that. But this is my first book. I've been working on it for the past couple of years, and with the changing dynamics in the music industry, I thought it was
yeah.
important to share not just with artists, but also with investors, with managers, with producers, with other lawyers, folks on the creative and business side of the music industry to understand what the current climate is in the music industry for the deals that are being made, what those deals look like, and if you're on the artist side or the artist representative side, to be able to understand what things to ask for when you're negotiating what we call 360 deals, and just about every deal now with a newer developing or mid-level artist with a record company has a 360 clause in it. So I'm about the business of knowledge and empowerment, and believe that, you know, if I share this information, more people will take advantage of it, and as a whole, our community can be empowered to make better deals.
Exactly. And I like what you said earlier, the climate, because I was going to kind of talk to you about that. It has changed dramatically since, and you say you've been in the business 30 years. So, of course, you've seen the highs, the lows, you know, and the in-between. So kind of talk about how that change, how you've seen the change and how important it is, not only for indie artists, but even continued established artists to know about this 360 deal, because I never even heard of it myself. So can you give us a little bit without giving us too much information in the book?
Sure. Well, essentially, most people know that historically, the music industry, artists and record companies and other folks that feed off of that business have put out CDs or put out cassettes, and then it was vinyl, and that was the mainstay of the music business, selling music, selling singles, selling albums, selling EPs. And then the sale of vinyl transformed into the sale of CDs, and the sale of mm-hmm. CDs transformed into digital downloads. And now, last year, for the very first time, digital downloads, which is basically, you know, sales on internet retail platforms like iTunes and Amazon, that's mm-hmm. beginning to decrease, and it's being surpassed significantly by streaming. And for those listeners who are not familiar with the jargon, streaming is basically when you listen to music, not downloading it onto a mobile device or a hard drive, but you're listening to it like on Pandora on Spotify, on Rhapsody, on iHeartRadio, on Tidal, on XM Sirius Satellite, and literally thousands and thousands of other, like your station, internet radio stations. That's streaming of music. And the streaming of music now has surpassed digital downloads in terms of how music is consumed worldwide. And as a result, the economics of the industry have shifted. That means less money is being paid back to the creators of the music, less money is being paid back to the record companies who pay for the music to be created. And as a result, in order to stay financially viable, record companies have had to look to other areas to supplement the income stream, and they are now looking to the artists that they're signing, saying, in addition to your music sales revenue, which we've always had, we now want to share, like, your manager in all the other areas of entertainment industry income that you make. And that means live performances and touring and shows. It means book deals. It means television appearances. It means appearances on in motion pictures, sponsorships, endorsements. So all these other areas now that artists historically and continually make money once they establish their brand, the record company is now sharing a small percentage that could be anywhere from percent. And that's why they call it 360, because now the record company is sharing in the total economic pie that an artist makes during their career. And I thought it was incumbent just to be able to demystify what the 360 deal is, and to be able to talk to people about where it came from, what it looked like, and how to negotiate it. And that's exactly what my book does. I released it about 2.5 months ago. It's available, as most books are, on Amazon.com, but we encourage our fans, supporters, and listeners to go directly to our website, which is www.askmusiclawyer.com, because not only can they pick up the book there and it'll be autographed before it comes to them, but also we have a ton of information. We have a resource directory, a global resource bank. We have hot topics and a news blog that is updated on a daily basis, which keeps people informed about issues of current trends and things from legislation to court cases to just who's zooming who of significance on the business side in the entertainment and music business. We have webinars, which we're going to start this month. So it's just a wealth of information on the website, and we've got a great team of people worldwide who keep it running. And the book is just one of the many things, along with contracts, that are available to anyone who goes to the website.
Wow, I love it. I'm definitely going to get me a copy, definitely, because it is important that you understand this business. And I think the last time that I had you on the show, we talked about that, and even more so now. Do you see the industry going back to, because I know the streaming, and then I know, you know, just the CDs and EPs. Do you see anything going backwards as far as going back to vinyl? Do you see any of that coming back?
Well, there's a resurgence of vinyl records right now. And I think it's become more of a fad to be classic and hip and trendy and to have a vinyl collection like we used to 30, 40 years ago. But it's a small fraction of the music industry sales, less than 10%. So, no, I don't see it going backwards. And we're a technology-driven society. Technology continues to evolve. And as a result of that, the music consumption and the ways that we listen and enjoy music have also evolved. And that's why it's gone from vinyl to CD and cassette, from that into digital downloads, and now from digital downloads into streams, and who knows what's next, but it will definitely not go backwards. It'll only evolve into something else that technology will embrace.
I love it. Now, one thing that you talked about earlier that is very, very important that I want our listening audience definitely, and again, this is a tape show, so you guys will definitely be able to go back and listen to the archive show. Talk about branding, because when I think about the older artists that have been in this business for a little over 20, 30 years, and then you've got new artists now, were you branding back then, or was it called something different, like marketing? Or so talk about the buzzwords that are out there that they use and how you can kind of get people to understand that they were probably doing it then, but not on a wider stream. Do you understand where the question that I'm asking?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and I think the process of marketing and promotion is ultimately what leads to a brand. And what we talk about a brand is something that consumers can embrace and then they can support financially in all aspects of the brand. Case in point, Kirk Franklin, whom I'm sure all of your listeners know and who I call not only my brother, but also has been a value client for many, many years of his brilliant career. But Kirk Franklin started out with his music back with 4 years old many, many years ago, had gold and platinum records that created tours. The tours created exposure and expansion of his ministry. The success of that led to the BET show, Sunday's Best. So his visibility in front of millions of viewers and fans and television folks every single week on Sunday's Best led to the continued expansion and development of his brand. So that led to the ABC TV show with Jack Foxworthy. It led to his series that he has with the House of Blues. It's led to his two books that he's had out there. It's led to his music label that he now is developing artists and releasing them. So once you're established, and, you know, if you go into the secular world and you look at what's happening, you've got gospel artists, you've got hip-hop artists, you've got pop artists and rock artists, and once they have an established brand, look at how many different things J-Lo and Rihanna and Nicki Minaj and Jay-Z and Puffy, P. Diddy, and 50 Cent. All of them have created household brands, and just their name alone or the name of their company, whether it's Bad Boy or Roc Nation or whatever it might be, these are now iconic established brands that have all kinds of products and services which consumers and supporters buy into. And that's what branding is.
Wow. I'm glad you explained that because, again, I think a lot of people get that mixed up with, like you said, marketing, because you can market yourself. But like you said, there's got is sometimes can an artist get into a brand and realize that that really is not what their public wants? You know, sometimes it may be something that they may think that they might want to do, but it's their fan base may not embrace it. Have you seen that happen a lot for some artists, whether they're gospel, you know, rock, R&B, whoever they may be? Have you seen a little bit of that being on your the legal process in entertainment?
Yeah, I mean, it happens quite frequently, and it's not just on the music side, it's on the celebrity side. And quite often, a celebrity will love a particular type of product, and then they'll attach their name to that product. But the product may not sell for a variety of reasons. It may just be a piece of crap, or it may just be that, you know, the public is not attaching themselves to that brand to such a way that they want to spend money on it because there are other competing products in the market that are similar to it that might be superior or cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just like any product rollout and service rollout. You're going to have successes and you're going to have failures. And when you do, you just have to know when to pull back and stop spending and kind of reshift the efforts to something else.
I love that. Talk about how important it is to have a good team around you, because I know we talked about that several years back. You know,
mm-hmm.
we talked about, you know, having an entertainment lawyer, but if you're not at that place, especially if you're a young artist, but just covering yourself and having yourself with people not only that have your back, but have the knowledge to help you move forward, kind of help our indie artists understand how important it is to have a good team.
Sure, sure. And it goes on all levels, not just for artists. You know, it's very difficult to try to do it all yourself. You know, the DIY model is cool, but to really be successful, you can't be an island just kind of trying to do everything yourself from your home. So you have to find qualified people who really support and understand exactly what you're doing, that are qualified, that are experienced and talented, and will donate the time and dedicate the resources and energy necessary to help build and develop that brand and launch or continue to expand that career. And that means a qualified, experienced attorney, qualified and experienced CPA, who will also be the business manager responsible for your financial health and your taxes, a qualified talent and booking agency who's going to find live engagements, qualified personal manager who's going to really be the quarterback for the career, move it down the field, and be able to find new opportunities to expand the brand and to perform live and to be seen and heard and sell whatever your product is. And all of these elements I call spokes in the wheel of the artist, with the artist being in the center, that's what makes the wheel roll, and that's what keeps it rolling successfully when you have a good team and a good product. And it's not just music. I mean, it's on all aspects. With our website that I've created, Ask Music Lawyer, I couldn't do it by myself. You know, I've got scores of clients that I have to deal with on a daily basis. So I've assembled a team. So I've got a brother, Simon Vandy, who's taken on the responsibility of developing and maintaining our website in London. I've got a marketing social media person in the office in Atlanta, Mickey Funderburg, who comes from other companies. I've got another lady who writes our blogs and our articles, Lorraine Funderburg, who's another attorney. Lauren Frazier, who helps out with the marketing effort. Our PR agent and his firm, Double Exposure in New York, Angelo Ellaby and Tracy. So I couldn't do what I'm doing without having a team. And that team, when they're effective, it's an awesome machine.
That's so great. That's so great. I love it. And I know I'm probably going to get in trouble with saying this, but sometimes you just can't have Pookie that lives down the street that a good friend and wants to do this for you just because y'all have been friends forever. Sometimes you have to learn how to really invest in yourself and invest in, you know, what you believe, you know, the gift that God has given you, like you said, whether it's entertainment, you know, whatever destiny or mandate God has given you in this world to do to make a difference and to make a positive impact, you know, you have to have those people around you that will help to do that and to motivate you to be better and to want to be better. And I like the way you said that, because I do, you know, I've been guilty of that myself, you know, because you have friends that really love you and want to be there to support you and help you, but sometimes they can only take you but so far.
Exactly. And sometimes you may have to go in your pocket and spend some money to make sure that you're hiring the right people to be on your team. If they're not on a net profit or a commission basis, they've got to be paid. So one way or another, you need to make sure that your team is professional, that they can deliver, and that they're motivated.
I love it. Now, some of the great things that I know that you've been doing in the community, because you are in Atlanta, correct?
Yes, I am.
In the Atlanta area. And so talk, because I think the last time we talked, you had a foundation, or you had a men's group or something that was going on, or do you still have that foundation that you've been working with?
Well, I have, I do plug in with some of my brothers here on a more social, personal basis, just to support each other and our endeavors and what we do. But I'm involved as a member of the board on a number of different foundations, and one is the Living Legends Foundation, which assists folks in the music and the radio and the retail record industry when they're falling on hard times. I'm the chairman emeritus of the Rhythm and Blues Foundation, which similarly provides financial assistance to pioneer R&B artists when they're in financial distress. I'm on the board of directors of Sound Exchange, which is an organization that's a performing rights organization that just collects and distributes close to $1 billion a year to artists and to record companies when their music is streamed. And those things just kind of keep me busy from the nonprofit foundation basis.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, and again, tell our listening audience how they can reach you. Now, you are a very busy man. I know that for a fact. But you're so receptive, and you always just seem to have the, you know, you will make the time to, you know, give some valuable information. And I really appreciate you doing that for me, you know, several years back, because that really has helped me and helped me grow, you know, in my ministry as well. So I want to thank you for that. But I wanted you to tell our listening audience again how they can, you know, reach you and how they can reach out, you know, to, you know, the Mentor and Associates LLC in Atlanta.
Yes.
And also, are you going to be doing any tours or anything promoting your book?
Yes, I am. I actually have just finished three book signings on my initial tour, We did one in Atlanta here on the 10th of June. That was fantastic and a lot of fun. Then the one that you mentioned with Dionne Warwick, we did in New York City at Nick Ashford and Valerie Simpson's spot, the Sugar Bar. And then that was hosted for me by Dionne Warwick and Chuck Jackson and other clients like Roy Ayers and Allison Williams came out. And we just had a ball. So that was about 2 weeks ago. And that was followed by a book signing and a couple of seminars that I did at the Berklee College of Music in Boston. The next one will be sometime in early August in Austin, Texas, that one of my supporters and friends, Chuck Williams, is putting together. That'll be followed up with a book signing. Actually, it'll be preceded by a book signing in Los Angeles in 2 weeks at the National Bar Association Convention. And I'll be back in Los Angeles again in October. So, yeah, you've been hitting the road and having some fun. And just for day-to-day contact, I just encourage people, if they want to reach out to us and also see what we're doing. Again, the website is www.askmusiclawyer.com. If you go to the About Us tab, you'll see what the firm does and some of our profile. If you go to the Contact Us tab, you'll see phone numbers and email addresses for direct contact. And if you wanted to make an appointment for a consultation, there's a calendar and you can sign up to do a consultation right there. So the site is pretty complete.
Awesome, awesome. Now, you guys hear that. So I know if you have any questions, you definitely will get some valuable, valuable information. Now, I'm going to switch the questions a little bit. Now, I know your wife a year or so ago had her own venture that was going out. Kind of tell our listening audience about that so we can kind of, you know, plug in and support her as well.
Absolutely. And, yes, my beautiful wife, Pamela, is a hairstylist. Has been for over 25 years, and I call her stylist to the celebs because she's been on Oprah a couple of times, and she's done a lot of celebrities as well as just common folk and professionals. She's does most of her work out of Chicago, but a couple of years ago with one of our friends, Sandra Glass, we set up and launched, and it's still up and running, a company and a website called Fantabulous Hair, and it's easy to visit that. It's just either Fantabulous Hair on Facebook, or you can go directly to the website, which is www.fantabulous.com. And on the site, what she basically does is she's got short 3 to 5 minute episodes that tackle specific issues of importance to women in maintaining beautiful and healthy hair. So it's not a slap down your mama's or whatever kind of reality show. It's strictly informational and educational. And she has fun doing it. We're about to go into production on our third season. And, you know, the viewership just continues to expand.
I love it. Now, you think she's going to get picked up by a major network or maybe Bravo?
Well, that's our goal. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Our goal is to be able to expand the brand to mainstream television. So we'll have the web episodes plus mainstream TV. But at the same time, to be able to do that without compromising the integrity and the quality of the show. We don't want it to just be another reality show where people are in a salon calling each other names and going into drama. We want to maintain that educational input as well as have some fun and some entertainment at the same time.
Exactly. And trust me, there has been some shows out there and kind of give your opinion on that, because I know we want to be seen, but sometimes we give the wrong message. I'm not just talking about us as African Americans. I'm just talking about across the board. Talk about some of the reality shows that you've seen with some of the celebrities and artists. And not going to say your opinion, but kind of talk about that and to our listening audience, see if the good and the bad about that.
Well, at the end of the day, people have to just remember it's entertainment. It's meant to entertain. That's what the producers and the networks want, because that's what drives and keeps ratings. And I have clients, because I do a lot of work in television, so I have clients on Housewives of Atlanta. I have clients on Love and Hip Hop New York, and Medicine, R&B Divas, and a number of other shows. And in all of those shows, the producers are kind of moving the cast in the direction of interpersonal interaction, quite often interpersonal confrontation, and mm-hmm. sometimes scenes are real, sometimes scenes are fabricated, but at the end of the day, it's meant to entertain, and if you take it too seriously, then you should probably just watch CNN, realizing that, you know, you're tuning in to see the drama, you're tuning in to laugh, you're tuning in to see people deal with each other, and every once in a while, you might even see yourself in some kind of character or some kind of scene and setting, and that's what really resonates with a lot of folks, which is why they keep tuning in to see what's going to happen next week. But you have to take it at face value.
That's exactly right, and I love your take on that, because again, at the end of the day, it is entertainment. I know we get a lot of flack because it's like, well, that's not really how we act all the time, and sometimes it is and sometimes it mm-hmm. isn't. But like you said, right. You have to remember that it is a form of entertainment, because I know there was one that was talking about the sororities, and that one mm-hmm. didn't. I don't even think it got off the ground.
Well, actually, it did. It was on the air for a full season. I think it was Sorority Sisters or something like that. And, you know, sororities distanced themselves by saying this is not a depiction of our sororities or how our members act. But they took mm-hmm. that whole sorority concept and then created something that really didn't look like a sorority. But, again, it was entertainment just under the name of sorors.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Mentor, thank you so much for coming on and kind of giving us some, you know, more information, you know, about the industry. And definitely we will be looking for your book. You said we can get it on your website can we get it on Amazon
yes.
as well?
Okay. Yeah, the book is available on Amazon. It's available on Barnes & Noble. And, you know, folks that are comfortable and familiar with those retailers, I say go to it for folks that would, for the same price, like to get a direct copy personally autographed to themselves, as well as avail themselves of the wealth of information that we have available for free, they can go to our website again, which is www.askmusiclawyer.com.
I'm getting my autographed copy.
Very good. I'm ready to send
Amen.
It out to
What's
you.
It? Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And again, Kingdom Citizens, thank you so much for tuning in. I love you guys. We will be back on next week with another indie artist talking about what great things they are doing in the kingdom of God and just telling you why God has mandated them to do what they do. Again, Mr. Mentor, thank you so much. A big shout out to Arthur Payne and Dreaming Out Loud Entertainment. We appreciate them
yep.
hooking up this this interview, and we love you so much. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, and thanks to Arthur. Have a good night.
And amen. You too. All right, everybody. We will check you guys out tomorrow. And again, as we always say, let's talk. Good night, everybody.